here with us at the Sci-Fi Happy Hour.
Sci-Fi Happy Hour!
All right, you are just in time for the Sci-Fi Happy Hour. We're back here at the lab.
Yep.
I got Quinn in front of me. I'm Shoff. And we're going to kick things off with a dram session. That's how we do things over here at the Sci-Fi Happy Hour.
I don't see we have any other choice.
So, what do we get ourselves into today?
Well, it looks like you brought us a bottle. How do you say this here? Glengarry?
Glengarry. That sounds about right.
All right, so we're gonna open this up.
All right, while he's getting that label off there, I'm going to look at the box here. Okay, so we've got kind of, what is this, like a little plaid pattern, kind of a flannel?
A little bit of
a green flannel pattern to the side of the box. It's kind of a cardboardish box. It's a 12-year single malt scotch from the Highland region of Scotland. And with that in mind, I mean...
It says Old Mildrum, Aberdeenshire. I've never had this before. This looks really nice. I like the hunter green look.
Yeah.
With the kind of a tea-colored label. Highland single malt scotch whiskey. 12 years. So it says right here it's been put in bourbon and sherry casks.
That's right. Yeah, there's a hint of oak in going on with that. I was on YouTube looking up a little bit about this Glengarry, and there is a really well-known whiskey ambassador who had been reviewing one of the other within the line. It was like a Founder's Reserve. And he had talked about how the presentation, the box itself was very much like a cardboard box. It was pretty simple the way it was designed. He said, you know what? I can tell that they're not spending their money on the presentation of the box, which means that they're spending more money creating a great scotch for you to enjoy.
Oh, that's a good
so I thought that outlook on it. I thought that was a good start. I knew that we were going to be setting ourselves up for success.
Hey, well, thanks for bringing this over to the Sci-Fi Happy Hour. You know that we love to try scotches, whiskeys of every type. And so let's uncork this bad bear.
Ooh, the best sound ever.
You.
All right.
Here we go.
Thank you, sir. All right. So the way we start things off with our dram sessions is you got to dip your nose into that glass. You got to start smelling it. You got to figure out what's happening in there.
That's right. We're gonna nose it and see what we can pick up on the nose. What are you picking up, Shaw?
Vanilla.
It does. Smells sweet.
It smells very sweet. Which I would say most of the Highland single malts that I've had do have a sweet element to them, which I look forward to, like that caramely type piece of things.
Smells very good.
It smells
awesome. But you're right, it does have a fruit to it, and it has kind of a...
Maybe apples?
Oaky type of smell to it, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, my friend, let's take a drink, yeah?
All right, let's do that.
Sláinte.
Sláinte.
Oh, that's good.
That is nice. When it hits your lips, what are you getting?
I have kind of a lemony, citrusy type of taste.
Okay, I can pick up some of that.
And I definitely taste the oaky part of it. What else is going on there with this? What are you picking up on the mouthfeel?
I went with a second sip because I love whiskey. I'm getting pears. That's what I'm picking up.
Yeah.
I'm picking up some pears.
Pears.
So wow. Definitely a fruity element to this, which I kind of enjoy. I'm not getting like full on cinnamon, but there's like a brown sugar element that I'm picking up.
Legit. That must be where that sweetness came in.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So this particular scotch though, in terms of like where it's located and where like the barley is coming from, there is an abundance of golden barley and spring water that comes from the distillery, because the Valley of Garry is a market town, and the motto of this town is actually mean, speak, and do well.
Oh, I love
which
that.
Is kind of a great way to live life, I think.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, but apparently within the island of Scotland and entire country, this area, the Valley of Geary, is considered to have the finest barley growing area in the entire country. So, in terms of what you're picking up on that malted barley, like it's ever present for sure within this particular one.
That is good. That is good. Now, like we want to do on our show, this being episode one for the Sci-Fi Happy Hour, we want to establish a kind of motif on how we're going to categorize the different scotches and whiskeys that we're going to sample for you, the listener, the podcast listener.
And we give it back to you, the people.
For the people.
For the people.
For the people.
Now, we also expect that...
I'm willing to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's
to
a
drink
nice,
for.
That's why Quinn's so amazing. I mean, that's how he's so charitable and nice. He's going to do that for us. We hope that when you're hearing about these great scotch, this great whiskey, all these different types of bourbons, blends, whatever, that you go out and you give it a shot yourself. We want to hear about it.
Yeah. It's our hope that you would maybe listening to our show, pick up a whiskey or a scotch that you've never heard of, hear us trying it, and then go out and try it. And I think that's what you were driving at.
Absolutely. Yeah. Please try it. Let us know on our website, quinnmitchell.com.
Yeah, yeah. And so we want to get this going and kick this off with every show. We're going to do a dram session, and then we're going to categorize our whiskeys, our scotches, in terms of Star Wars. We're going to fit it into the Star Wars universe.
Because this is Sci-Fi Happy Hour.
That's right. That's right. So... when it comes to anything to do with scotch, we talked about it fitting into what category? Like ships?
For Star Wars ships is how we're going to treat any single malt scotch. Okay?
Right.
If we have any blended,
malted
whiskey from Scotland, then we are going to use Star Wars planets. As our basis.
There you go.
How we're going to describe it. And then if we get into the category of, say, single malt whiskeys that are not Scotland, for instance, something from America, Australia, Europe, or even I'm missing one.
Australia?
Asia.
Asia, yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, anything Asia.
Anything Asia. That's going to be we're going to look at that as
characters, right? Everything's going to be like Star Wars character. That can be a
It'll
droid.
Me for a second.
It can be a droid. It can be... alien with a big head.
Like if you take a drink
like
of
Snoke's.
Like a if you take a drink of like a single malt whiskey from say America and you think to yourself, oh man, this drink is Sith, then you know you're gonna pick something like Darth Vader. I mean, that's just how that goes.
Oh yeah, that's right. So anything, yeah. So when we do decide on somebody on a drink that we could categorize as the Darth Vader of the whiskeys.
Mm-hmm.
That mother better be.
Yes.
Better be legit ominous because you can only have one Vader.
Right.
So any whiskey we're going to describe, any scotch, is going to be the Millennium Falcon of whiskeys, right? Or it's going to be the... Yeah, exactly. It's going to be big, so...
I find the lack of peat disturbing.
So which one would you put this in as for a ship?
Okay, for a ship. I'm going to need another sip. A sip for this ship.
I'm trying to think myself. If I rate this. This is our rating system. Ordinarily, you would get, I rate this 5 stars. We're going to give it a description within Star Wars as a ship.
When I taste this, I feel a little bit... it's so fruity, in my opinion, for a whiskey that... I can't ignore that, and I think it kind of takes precedent in my mouth. So I'm kind of picking up Naboo Starfighter.
Okay.
So like the yellow ship in episode one that Anakin's flying around. All right. The way it's even resembled, it's so smooth. Like the ship itself is so like streamlined. It almost looks like it would be like a fruit. Okay. Yeah. Naboo is a jungle-ish planet. That has like it also has like sweeping valleys and they have lots of trees and it's very it just kind of
so you're getting this whole Highland vision
yeah
and that that fits that environment.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely. That like the fact that that's their go-to vehicle, that's their ship that they're traveling to the stars with. Like it, when I drink this, I just think yellow Naboo Starfighter all the way.
Nice. That's good. So the Naboo Starfighter. That's cool.
Oh, Annie.
I'm thinking, you know what came to mind?
Okay.
Is the Republic Cruiser.
Okay.
Is that the one that carries the that's like the big one that's shaped like a football, right? Yeah, it has the kind of like, I was thinking like an orange around it.
I'm blanking on that one.
Yeah, it has kind of the orange, and it was like when they were leaving Hoth.
Oh yeah, okay, and they're trying to escape,
and they had to use those ion cannons.
Yes.
To breach the barricade.
Yes.
Right? And so those ships were going. Now those were kind of for people.
Yeah, they're
right. Like, that wasn't a warship.
No, those were like giant carrier vessels. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, carriers. So this reminds me of that. This makes me think of that. It's got this big presence, and I thought orange for some reason when I was drinking this. Remember I said citrusy?
Yeah.
But that just, I felt I tasted that. That's probably not in there at all. But that's how it struck me, as like the Republic Cruiser, and it embodies everything that they've put into it. All of that effort is put into this ship, and it's good. So that's where I arrived with that.
I love it. That's the cool thing about this is, you know, when you have a rating system like we do, you know, it's always up to interpretation, as with any whiskey. So like what I'm getting and what I'm picking up for tasting notes might be my own thing. Maybe it's not a shared experience, and that's the cool thing about whiskey. So we encourage, please give the Glengarry a shot. Let us know what you think.
Yeah.
Rate it yourself. Let us know what Star Wars ship you would pick.
Yeah. Now, when we get back, we're going to talk about Comic-Con. We just went over the Memorial Day weekend.
We did. And you know what? I can't wait to get back because I want to ask you about your most recent Comic-Con purchase.
Yep.
Which conveniently is a Star Wars shirt.
Yeah.
So... when we get a chance,
let's do it.
Let's do that.
All right.
Be right back. If you're eating mold, it's not as bad as having a live rat in your toilet.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay, I should have thought of that through.
All right, your turn. You got to pull a card.
I'm just a failure. I suck at this game. We are back here at the Sci-Fi Happy Hour.
The Sci-Fi Happy Hour never truly ends.
No.
All right.
We're always happy. So listen, I wanted to tell you that we went to the Phoenix Comic Con 2017.
That's right.
And there was a scare right away. We're talking like, what was it, Shoff, the opening day, or was it Friday?
Yeah, it was on Thursday.
Okay, so Thursday is the opening day. Yeah. And all of a sudden there's this news that there's this dude that shows up with weapons. What did you read about that?
He came in with knives. He had guns. He was going to be apparently going for policemen, shooting down policemen. Dude. But probably the most interesting and weirdest part of all is his ultimate goal was to assassinate Jason David Frank, famous for playing Tommy, the green/white ranger of Power Rangers.
Was it the green or the white?
He was both. He started as the green.
Oh, okay.
He started as the green.
Oh, okay. So this dude legit went there to kill an actor?
To kill an actor. And now, okay. Here's the real thing. Like, of the actors there, there's probably a few that are maybe worthy of getting stabbed and
shot. They need
to be shot. But not Jason David Frank. Are you kidding me? He's the nicest guy.
Who did you want to shoot? Dick Van Dyke?
I mean, just put him out of his misery. Seriously. I felt bad for him as much as I felt bad for... We're getting off topic, but you brought up Dick Van Dyke, so let's do that. People stood in line waiting for a photo opportunity with him for 5+ hours.
I don't get it. Why would anyone... three different generations removed, right?
It's certainly a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to get a chance to meet him, but the sheer fact of your meeting him lasts 2 seconds, you don't really get much of an interaction at all, except for maybe to put your arms sort of around him and then... smile. You're not even really looking at him. You're looking forward. There hardly is an interaction. It hardly seems to be a payoff for what you're investing in your time and your money. I don't know.
So what happened with this dude? He got arrested.
He gets arrested. Yeah, he gets carried out. And then, as of that moment, everything at Comic-Con changed. The mood changed. The rules changed.
The mood changed?
Absolutely. Cosplayers were so upset. Why were they upset? Because the rules and regulations over what was allowed and what was not allowed had been changed.
See, when I got there, well, I went there Friday night. It didn't seem like anyone's spirits were down. The people I talked with and ran around, they were in a good mood. As soon as I got on the street right there, probably about, you know, like maybe a block away, got out of the vehicle, ran to the sidewalk, and some dude's like, "Hey, you going to the con?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm going to the con. What's up?" We high five. And he's like, "I'm going there." Or no, what I said to him was like, "Where do I go to register?" And he goes, "Oh, dude, it's over there on 3rd Street. You can walk with me." I go, "Cool." So we're walking together, and he's like, we're talking about what we want to see and what we want to do, and then he goes, "Did you hear about the dude that showed up with weapons?" I said, "Yeah, what was that all about?" And he told me. And then he goes, he asked me what I was doing there. I said, "I'm writing a book, so I'm going to be attending workshops." And he goes, "Oh, that's cool. Do you have a card?" And I handed him my card. And he goes, "I'm Emerald, dude." I go, "Oh, that's cool. I'm Quinn." And we shook hands. I think, I give him my business card, really with my website, so he could check that out.
Business card is legit, by the way.
Yeah, thanks. I love that card. But, and then from there.
You shouldn't even be allowed inside the Comic-Con with that thing. That's a freaking weapon. That's a freaking throwing star.
I handed it to an artist there. What's his name? Ah, crap. Totally forgot his name. Shoot, I shouldn't have brought it up because now I can't think of his name. But he's an amazing artist. I'm going to put a link on our site. He just does tremendous work. We talked about licensing and how an artist can draw Wonder Woman, Batman, Superman, and sell those images and have no license. It is 100% illegal, by the way, to just travel down this tangent. You cannot do that. However, it's such small potatoes, and it's not worth their time to go after you with a cease and desist letter because, one, they did that one time. I think it was DC. The story goes, and I'm operating strictly off of a rumor, but there was such a backlash from the fan community that they withdrew and just said, just let them draw it. Just let them draw it.
Yeah.
If anything, imitation
is the highest form of flattery. Right?
And I think they only concern themselves with the way the brand is. So if Wonder Woman is drawn really fantastic and just fabulous and just looking like what she's supposed to be doing, then that is advertising.
Right. I mean, if she's bent over sideways getting it up the poop chute, then that's probably right. Not
anything
be...
really. Exactly. They're going to say no.
Yeah.
If they put Wonder Woman. Exactly. So it's how they depict them.
I mean, it's exit only for Wonder Woman.
Yeah. So I didn't get that the mood was down at all. I got that the mood was. Well, I didn't read that as what I.
See, I wasn't there on Friday, so I can't confirm. But I was following all the Facebook posts for all my friends.
Okay, Facebook, yeah.
And the vibe I was getting from the social media, and that being an outlet for people's frustrations, it was definingly negative. People who had spent days, months on their costume, giant props that are not necessarily weapons, but large enough to be weapons or maybe shaped in a way that could be a weapon, they were absolutely against, and they were boycotting and banning the ability to bring them in. You had to leave them in your car, or you would check them. You wouldn't get a chance to see them.
Security was tight there.
Yeah.
There were cops everywhere. In fact, part of this big, strong police force that was down there at the Comic-Con, one of the vendors was telling me how Ultra Sabers, they were present there and they were escorted out by police because they got into some strong words with the promoter.
Yes. You told me about this.
Yeah. So they were kicked out. And I don't think that would have happened to that degree if Phoenix PD wasn't there en masse.
Yeah, they probably would have just let it fly. Yeah, for sure. Well, another thing is, I mean, those that could sell weapons as exhibitors, they had to wrap that stuff up.
Yeah,
you could not be walking around with that merchandise out and about. Like, you had to keep that in your bag. It could not leave
boxed up.
I mean, that's tough.
Yeah.
I mean, when you buy Frostmourne, you want to be able to show that off. When you buy like
Wolverine claws.
Yeah, Wolverine claws. Like, oh my gosh.
Anything. Batman or Captain America's shield. Yeah, got to keep that back. No, actually, I saw some dude walking around with it. He bought it and he was holding it up like this, walking out.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I thought, whoa, I wonder why they didn't consider
it. Now, I will say that the regulations did lighten up as the weekend progressed. They started to fine-tune what was and was not okay. And then people who had things that were clearly not weapons, they were just part of the costume, props that were larger, that might be like a, you know, a staff of something. Like, those were okay then. It took a while, though, for them to finally, like, arbitrarily decide this is okay, this is not okay, and create some rules around that. So that was rough in the get-go. I mean, there was a lot of unhappy dads who had made crazy amazing cosplay costumes for their kids that now they couldn't even go as those people. And, yeah, and that's a lot of money and time invested, so that was tough. All because one guy ruined it for everyone, so...
I think he was appearing in court today.
Oh, okay.
Or was it yesterday during Ramadan? No, because the courts would have been closed. Yeah, they brought him already to court to kind of, not for his defense, but to, I guess, make a, I don't know. I just saw something on the news that said about that. But my experience at Comic-Con was mostly me attending workshops. So I went, and you know what I really liked in the program is they had this kind of guide, this table, and they put all of the panels or anything with authors in one section, everything to do with science fiction, I guess, which would be building of robots or making your own lightsaber or building your own blaster, those kinds of things all in one section. And then cosplayers over here and cartoons. And so it was really nice because I found the area about authors, found my the workshops I wanted to attend, and boom, I was Saturday in there from 10:30 was the first one,
yeah,
until 7 p.m.
You know, Quinn is not lying, because I saw this dude for 10 minutes. I was in panels myself. My panels were more geared towards voiceovers and voiceover actor panels, getting a chance to put the voice to the face, to the name, and really kind of honing in on some of my favorite, like, childhood animated features and seeing how those came to be and seeing the people and how great their careers have been over the years as an aspiring voiceover actor myself. It was just so incredible to have that opportunity. But in that process, we were definitely on different pathways and had some unique experiences that we had during Comic-Con.
Yeah. Well, I was there in that workshop the whole time, which was great. And then late, I got out to the exhibits. And actually, the next day when I went to three more workshops, but I made more time in the exhibits.
That's awesome.
And down at the exhibits, I had gone earlier Friday night, and I was talking down author row and meeting with the different authors there and networking with them.
That had to be so cool. I mean, I would feel like if I was in a spot where I had people who truly understood, like, my plight, the thing that I'm dealing with right now, like you're going through right now as you write this series, like, how awesome is that to have that strength in numbers, the people around you who have either been through it already and have books under their belt or are in the process right now aspiring, you know? I think that's just incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. And I got some books here from Stephen Oxy. I'm probably butchering his name, but I hope to maybe get him and that maybe we can interview him on the show. So he wrote several books. He was telling me his story. He's got this background of intelligence or being in intelligence. And hopefully if we can get him on the show, we can get him to talk about that. But he's got this background in that kind of world. And so his books are military thrillers. And in this series that I picked up, here you can see different something right there inside of the book. But he's got these military thrillers. And then I also got to meet Michael Stackpole. And I bought this book right here. Boom! He wrote the World of Warcraft, Vol'jin, Shadows of the Horde.
Oh, and so this is pre-Legion then.
Yeah, this is an older one.
Oh, okay.
But I really like him, so I wanted to...
I've heard Michael Stackpole is awesome.
Yeah, yeah, he's great. Here, look, check this out. Got him to sign it. Boom!
That's awesome!
Oh, he goes, best wishes. But then Weston, for his... He goes,
this is where you get pissed.
So that was a lot of fun. I got to meet with them. And I think that's pretty much the end of that.
So, I mean, you probably had your fair share of merchandise you picked up beyond the books, right?
What else did I pick up?
I mean, you got this awesome t-shirt. Oh, I got this t-shirt.
Yeah, I got this t-shirt here from... Oh, Willie Watt.
Okay.
And he does Night Owl Ink, nightowlink.com. Night is spelled N-I-T-E. And I have a link there on the website too. But he does these designs, and the show Big Bang Theory, they picked up his shirts, and Leonard on Big Bang Theory wears those designs.
Are you kidding me?
So he was there at the Comic-Con, and I bought a couple of shirts from him. So I'm wearing right now Darth Vader on the turntables, and you see Spock and an X-Wing pilot breakdancing.
So, okay, what if, I mean, this could happen. We're watching, let's say we're watching next season's Big Bang Theory, and your shirt he's wearing in an episode. It could happen.
Oh, yeah, this can totally happen. In fact, I got a little interview clip, and we can play it right now.
Oh, let's do it.
All right, we're here at Phoenix Comic Con 2017 with one of the exhibitors. What's your name?
My name is Willie.
Willie, and you do artwork. You got some amazing T-shirts here. Well, thanks, tell me a little bit about them. What's special about these?
So I guess I would consider them like conceptual illustrations that you can wear with maybe a little twist to it.
Yeah, I dig these. These are awesome. I got, there's a banner up here in front with Big Bang Theory. What's that? Can you explain that?
Yeah, so we had the wardrobe designer to the Big Bang Theory come through my show and bought some T-shirts.
Nice. Where are you? So, where are you stationed out of?
I'm out of San Diego, okay. California.
All right.
And so Leonard wears my T-shirts on the show.
Get out. That's legit.
So now, like, whenever I come up with new designs, I just email her, and she either says yay or nay.
That is awesome. All right, so you'll be able to see some of his designs on Big Bang Theory, also at nightowlinc.com.
Yes.
And so how's the Comic-Con been so far for you?
Getting, that's good.
Yeah?
Made new fans, cool people.
Excellent. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
No problem.
Enjoy your con.
Thanks, man.
So there we go.
All right. That was pretty amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
How cool to connect with him.
He's pretty cool. He's a pretty cool dude. So you got to tell me he's going to the different cons, and he said that Arizona was the worst.
Really?
Yeah. To kind of bring a downer on it. He said the promoters just weren't cooperative. They were obstinate. His whole experience was they made it. He said of all the cons he's gone to Tucson, and of course SoCal, because he's there.
He's in San Diego, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And, it's just the worst. They said the promoters make it hard. They have all these funky rules. They were making them, like, giving them tickets and assignments and said, you cannot unload your box up your whole booth and get out to your truck unless we call you to. And they were letting them do it one by one. And like, he was explaining that they were letting them go to a place where they can get their truck. And then they had to go to another place, like, to shuttle and wait in queue before they called them. Then they could come to the building, park exclusively right there, have that spot, and then start trucking, hand trucking their stuff. And I think it was probably induced because of the dude with the weapons.
Yeah. You know, speaking of lines and things taking more time, did you experience that firsthand with whether it be registration lines or actually just getting in for the day?
When I showed up, which was Friday night, there were probably 8 people in front of me to get wanded,
okay,
you know, for the security and then for them to open up my bag and look inside. 8 people in front of me walked in, walked straight to the big ballroom where they had everyone queued up. It was empty. I walked right up to the lady with the booth and she goes, you just got off work? I go, yeah, I just got here. And she said, oh, you are so lucky. This room was full, wall to wall of bodies. In the last 3 hours, and now there's no one here. You just walked right out.
You timed it so perfectly.
That was perfect.
Because I didn't get there until Saturday. I stood out outside because, I mean, the line had been winding all the way as far as where the wanding was and where, like, the checking of the bags. I waited for 20 minutes before I even got to that line.
Mm-hmm.
And there were so many other lines that I saw along the way to just getting to the registration line that I stood in one thinking it was the registration line for a while until I realized that it wasn't. And then I was really upset with myself. Things, although they were for the most part labeled well, the lines were just so long that things started merging into each other and it got really difficult to ascertain what you were standing for, like what you were waiting for. So it took me about 20, 25 minutes to get into the ballroom. And then from there in about another 10 minutes to actually get up to the point where I could get my badge. And then from there, it was smooth sailing. Then there was a fair amount of foot traffic going between the floors. I mean, they were doing weird stuff about, like...
It was packed, dude.
They were doing, like, really weird things with the staircases, like, not letting people go up.
That was crazy.
I don't understand that. Maybe it was, like, a capacity thing, but...
It was weird.
It was very strange.
It was backed up. There were lines, and people were going, is this a line? Yeah, it's to the escalator.
And I'm thinking, like, all of these people are trying to get to a panel right now. Like,
yeah.
And they're going to miss it.
And you looked at the escalator and nobody was on it.
Yeah.
It was empty. And they kept looking up at each other, the security people, saying, is it good? Am I clear? Can I send someone? And then they would look at this girl that's in front of them. She's the front of the queue. And go, okay, let me look in your bag. And they looked in her bag. Okay, you're good. And they would send her up by herself. And the like 300 other people that are in queue are looking at this going, wow, what is going on?
Oh, my god!
But those workshops that I attended were really fun. A lot of them were Michael Stackpole talking.
Yeah.
And I got to sit next to a publisher and got to interview her. Let's hear right now.
Oh, let's do that.
Here at the Phoenix Comic Con of 2017, I'm meeting with a publisher named Misha. Can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
I've been writing for about 15 or 20 years. I've been publishing for 4.
Nice.
My company's called The Electric Scroll. The website is www.electric-scroll.com.
Scroll?
Scroll.
Okay.
Like, you know, an old book
R-O-L-L.
That you roll up.
Right. So how's the conference been so far?
The conference has been fantastic. I've been to a lot of classes. I've seen a lot of really awesome people in costume. Got a lot of books signed by authors more famous than myself.
Awesome.
And just have had a good time.
Any favorite panel that you sat in that really sticks out as most useful?
The panels I usually avoid because they all start bickering, but... So I've been mostly going to just the workshops, but I will tell you, Michael Stackpole is probably the best writing teacher I've ever heard.
Yeah, he's nice. He's really
he's
nice.
Awesome.
Everything like that. Yeah.
And he's a nice guy, too.
He sure is, yeah. Well, this is great. We're on the final day.
Yes. And it's I'm exhausted. I'm so ready to go home.
Well, you have a good day. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bye. So that she was there with us, and we are all
that is amazing.
Listening to the different, you know, she is a big fan of Michael Stackpole as well. So
absolutely,
he gives great classes. He does the 21 Days to a Novel,
which I've actually, you know, through your encouragement, Quinn, I went ahead and did that for myself.
Yeah.
Now I think I only made it to day 14, but I mean, it's a work in progress.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So you got to check out some robots or something you were saying? Some,
yeah, well, okay. So on the third floor, on the third floor with all the photo opportunities, where Dick Van Dyke's massive thousands of people waiting for 5 hours. Amongst all that were plenty of cool exhibits. One of which was this robot exhibit, which I thought was just fascinating. They were like robot warriors. They had been designed, created, and operated by radio
like gladiators. Yeah,
to duke it out in like robot Thunderdome. And I just thought to myself, like, that would be amazing. Why are we not doing that?
That is cool.
Shouldn't
dude? That's a good idea.
We should do something like that.
Right here at the lab, we could put that
together.
We've
got room for it. We should put it together.
When I think about the different components and just the techno wizardry that is right here in our armory
absolutely.
Of gadgets, we could build our own. Could we build it and then enter it in?
There's still time.
No, like for the next one.
Oh, plenty of time for that.
Okay, yeah.
Let's
that
do
would
that.
Be cool.
Let's make
what
that
kind
happen.
Of weapons would we put on this bad bear? I want a shield.
Well, you got to have something defensive, absolutely.
Okay, so like if we build a robot, one that has a shield.
Yeah, it's got to have a shield. I think it should have like a swinging sword axe apparatus of sorts.
Like a mace or something.
Yes, something with some...
10-ton hammer.
Okay, you're speaking my language.
Like a big bot. No. Yeah, that's cool. Let's build one, dude.
Let's do it.
I say we do. So what else did you get to do?
So another cool exhibit I saw was, and I always look for this. Every time I go to Comic-Con, I always look for the Lego display. I'm a big Lego fan. I love it. There's something about it just makes me think of my childhood and makes me think of all the Lego sets I wish I had. And of course, they have this massive city that they've constructed and working trains moving throughout the city. I just love it. And they've got this one display where the Flash... they've got a little minifigure of the Flash, and he's traveling through the city, and you see...
Oh, dude,
and he's
cool.
Actually... They have multiple minifigs of the Flash to showcase that he's, like, moving so fast that you're seeing his remnant.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
It's like a tracer, right?
Yeah, it's like a tracer. I love it. And he, like, goes through, like, burning buildings, and he comes out. He's got, like, a person in his hands. Like,
that's
it's, like... It's so amazing.
That's
and
cool.
You know, I feel like this weekend of Comic-Con was a Flash weekend for me. I had my Flash t-shirt on, my you Flash did. Hat.
Yeah.
And I picked up a Flash comic while I was there. I picked up Flashpoint, which nice. Is an epic story within the Flash series. I'll let you kind of take a look.
Let me thumb
through
this.
So this is a graphic novel. This particular story is really unique because it really kind of reset the timeline of what was happening in DC Comics at this time. So Flash, unbeknownst to him, he goes back in time and he saves his mom. And in saving his mom from being killed by Reverse Flash, he causes an alternate timeline to take place.
Oh.
And in this alternate timeline that he experiences, Wonder Woman is battling against Aquaman, and they're basically like about to destroy the world with the amount of hatred they have for each other. Bruce Wayne died during the whole interactions with if you remember from Batman's origin, his parents get killed, right?
Right.
Well, change that up.
And this, so everything in this, got
yeah, in
up.
This alternate history, Batman is Thomas Wayne, Bruce's dad, because Bruce dies in that whole exchange in the alleyway.
That's cool.
So all of that takes place, and then Flash realizes that he's caused all of this because Reverse Flash comes and he like tells him he's, and it's the first time that the Flash is a villain in his own right, that he has become the bad guy and he has to set things right. And it's a That's crazy cool. amazing story. I love it. It really kind of set the tone. It changed the game for DC Comics, and I've never owned it. I've always wanted to read it all the way through.
That's awesome.
So man. I got a chance to do that. I also got to go to some awesome panels like VoiceOver 101, which was a live workshop that was done by Eric Schumacher, who's has a lot of experience. He's been on Fox TV for different animated features.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I got his business card. I cannot wait to contact him and awesome. Send my demo reel out to him and everything.
That's so cool, bro. Yeah,
so that's going to be really exciting. He taught some really cool technique. He actually gave us a script that we got a chance to perform, and I thought I would do
awesome.
I thought I would do one.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Is that okay?
Yeah, definitely.
So there's a boomy announcer voiceover, and this is for like from Edge Studio. It's like a wrestling thing, so I'm gonna give it my best shot.
Let's do it.
Here we go.
On January 30th, the crowd will shake, the earth will rumble. 30 superstar wrestlers of the WWF bang heads in a winner take all rumble. 30 wrestlers, one ring. Something's gotta give. Superstar Wrestling on ESPN.
Yeah, that's good. That's really cool.
So he had people come up and they were all doing like their own thing, and he gave them like just on-site advice on like, try this out, have some breast support, put some, you know, mark up your script. It was really insightful. So I took a lot of notes. It was fantastic. Also got to hear Batman the Animated Series,
man, cool.
Voiceover actors and Dragon Ball Z voiceover actors.
Oh,
it
man.
Was epic.
That is sweet.
I loved it. You know what? Comic-Con had never been about panels until this year for me.
Oh, you've always never gone to what, the exhibits?
The exhibits or photo opportunities. Like 2 years ago.
You never went to panels.
Yeah, 2 years ago, I just spent all my money going to see Charisma Carpenter and Christopher Lloyd.
Oh,
and,
that's what you like to do. Okay.
Willow and
yeah,
oh my
you
gosh.
Stood in line to see the actors.
Yeah,
and then you went to the
exhibits.
That
was my entire day.
That was Comic-Con, yeah.
Yeah, that was it. And it's like, that's not a way to experience it. Now that I experienced the panels, I'm like, that's the way to go.
Yeah, it's fun.
There's so much to be gained.
Yeah, definitely.
So it really changed the game for me, for sure.
That's legit, dude. Oh, man, that's cool. Yeah, now, you mentioned Wonder Woman.
Yes.
And that's her movie's coming out this weekend.
Oh, yeah. You know, I got the ticket for that.
All right. So when you get back, I mean, you're going to go watch it this weekend. So next show, let's hear your review about
Absolutely. It. Next show, Shoff screens it, Wonder Woman.
All right. Let's do it. So you all come back with us here at the Sci-Fi Happy Hour.
Absolutely.
And we're going to have a good time. We're going to talk about Shoff screens it. And then look forward to this summer. We're going to have some interviews with different famous people that we can get on the show.
And absolutely, always check out QuinnMitchell.com for all the updates, blog posts. We're going to share our whiskey scoring system for Star Wars. It's all there. So make sure to check it out and check it often, because we have some great stuff coming up.
Thank you all.
Have a great week. We'll see you next time.